All right, Matthew 7. This will be the final message in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to read verses 21 to the end of the chapter. So, give us a little continuity from last time. So verse 21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now pay close attention here. There's something that you ought to see. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. That is that house that was founded and built upon a rock, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Conversely, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings on the word. I pray that you'd speak to us. Father, may we, Lord, marvel at the words of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, Lord, our Lord and Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening we come to the end of, it's the greatest sermon ever preached. And I don't have to tell you why. It's because of the man who preached it. He's the incarnate word. And so he actually preached a sermon that became the word of God. And so it's the greatest sermon ever preached. He is the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. No man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He was God manifest in the flesh. So this was God, the God-man, sitting on the top of a mountain, preaching the word of God to his disciples and to the multitudes. If Mark or Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 were the only three chapters that we had from the word of God, if this was it, if this is all we had, we could consider ourselves to be spiritually rich, greatly blessed of God. If this was all you had, we could consider ourselves to be privileged. A few weeks back in the Sermon on the Mount, as we learned, the Lord Jesus confronted us and commanded us to go toward the straight gate and the narrow way which leads to life. Now, not everyone's going that way. He warned us, conversely, about the wide gate and the broad way that leads to destruction. So two ways here, two sets of people that say Lord, and tonight two houses, two builders. And so which builder are you? Two ways to build a house, two ways to live a life, two ways to look to the salvation of your soul. Consider there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of Christ and there's the kingdom of Satan. There are two fathers. There's the Father in heaven, and Christ himself calls Satan the father of lies. So which father is yours? Satan is the god of this world. So two kingdoms, two fathers, two eternal destinations that confront every human soul. Every one of us will die and arrive at one eternal destination. Every single one of us. There's not multiple choices. There's not a whole bunch of different places. There's no holding places. There's either the presence of God in heaven or to be cast out into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Only two destinations. Two destinations, but one way of salvation. One way to the one true and living God. One way, one door, one gate, one foundation. That's it. Let the world call you narrow-minded. Keep going to the narrow gate. Keep going to the straight gate that leads to life. Don't listen to the lies of the world. Few find the straight gate and the narrow way that leads to life. But many, in fact, the mass of humanity find the wide gate and are on the broad way that leads to destruction. It's a path of no resistance. It's a path that must be right because it's just going with the flow. The Christian doesn't go with the flow of the world. The Christian goes against the current of the world. The broad way leads to destruction, eternal damnation. Listen, you might say, well, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about that. You better worry about that. You better examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. I knew a man one time. He says, I'm in with such a confidence. Now, listen, he that believeth on the Son of God, we may know that we have eternal life. That's based on my faith in the person of Christ. But I am not to be arrogant about that. There are those that think they can do what they will in this life. They've punched their ticket to heaven, and it doesn't matter what they do. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I'll tell everyone here, like I tell those that exhibit a carnal confidence in that they're going to heaven, you're not there yet. He that shall endure, Jesus said, Matthew 24, he that shall endure to the end, he shall be saved. So, yes, the saints will persevere. And God will carry you by his grace. But you also must persevere. Yes, he will keep you, Jude says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Yes, I believe that absolutely. Yes, God's going to keep me from falling and ultimately being cast into hell. Jude 24 says that. Jude 20 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So yes, God will keep his saints, but you better keep yourselves. You are responsible for your own soul. And so, yes, it matters how you live. The Lord Jesus then warned us of false prophets, wolves who would come to us disguised as sheep, to deceive and scatter us from Christ, to influence us and to point us away from the straight and narrow way which leads to life, but also to keep lost sinners in the church with false professions going toward the wide gate and the broad way which leads to destruction. Oh, Satan wants you in church if you're lost, and he wants you to be satisfied with the fact that you're in church if you're lost and that you have a false profession. Be so careful. Listen, every one of us must take heed and beware of false prophets and teachers entering in among us and lying to us and deceiving us as children of God. We must know what we believe from the truth of God's word. In fact, Jesus told us that. Matthew 24, go there. Matthew 24 in verse 11, and then we'll go to verse 23. Matthew 24 and 11, Jesus says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And he says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. When's that going to be? Tell me when iniquity is going to start abounding. It's abounding. It's abounding. And it says the love of many shall wax cold. And whose love is he talking about? He's talking about the love of the saints. Listen, about the The way that your love for Christ will grow cool is the abounding of iniquity in your life. That's when he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Verse 23, and if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. I have told you before. And so, two gates, two different sets of preachers. There are the preachers of righteousness, the true preachers of God, and then there's the false prophets. And now, in Matthew 7, 21 to 27, and this is the central message here to us, is doing the will of our Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7, 21, two foundations, two builders, two houses. Now, don't ever forget this in regard to he that built his house upon the rock and he that built his house upon the sand. Remember this. One of the signature marks of a pretend Christian or a hypocrite or a Pharisee, and one of the central features here in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27, is who Jesus likens his children to. Who does he liken his children to in verses 24 to 27? He likens them to a wise man who digs deep and finds the rock and starts setting the studs and the beams on the rock. It's someone who pours the foundation first, or has the foundation first, and he builds his house upon a foundation, upon a solid rock. And then there's the other man who simply builds his house upon the sand. If you would see that, you would say that's ludicrous. That's insane. Why would you do that? You bought perfectly good lumber and you're putting the plates down in the sand and you're erecting this house on movable ground. What are you doing? And you'd say, that's ludicrous. It's insane. What are you doing? You'd go tell him, why are you doing this? You're wasting all of your materials. Well, think about someone who goes throughout their whole life and they never, never turn to Christ. Their whole life is built upon the sandy foundation of the world. They have no foundation. Their lives are built upon nothing. Their hopes are all founded in this world. And at the end of their earthly lives, without any heavenly hope, their earthly lives are dashed to pieces, and they die, and they are eternally damned. Listen, if there's anything you don't want to be, it's a pretend Christian. Jesus identifies pretend Christians, and he's really targeting the scribes and Pharisees. All throughout the Sermon on the Mount, he is targeting the Pharisees, and he's teaching us what a pretend Christian is, what a hypocrite is. And you know what a hypocrite is? He's one that hears and has a lot of knowledge about what the Bible says, but they never do it. They never obey. And listen, look at Matthew 23. He says that about them. Matthew 23:1. He even tells his disciples, he said, the scribes and Pharisees, they know the truth. So whatever they command you to do, do it, because they're right. They know. They understand the law. They understand that. So whatever they command you to do, do it. But don't do it like they do. Why? Well, first of all, because they don't do it. Look, he says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Listen, a pretend Christian is a say Christian, but a do not Christian. They say, that they love Christ, but they in fact, in actuality, do not love Christ. Of the Pharisees, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works, when they do, they don't do them for the glory and honor of God. They do to be seen of men. See, the hypocrite, the pretend Christian needs an audience. Look at Luke 11:46. Remember, one of the central features here in verses 24 to 27 is, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them. He's a doer. Luke 11:46. Luke 11:46. Jesus says, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for you laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. You touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Listen, I told you to remember something. Go back. Let me just show you this. It's kind of a little intermission here, but it's important to see. If you go back to Matthew 7 and verse 24, you notice in verses 21 to 23, Jesus said, he that doeth the will of my Father. You notice that? You can see that in verse 21. He that doeth the will of my Father. Those are the ones that enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then you notice in verse 24, he says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. He doesn't say whosoever heareth these sayings of my Father. He says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. What a beautiful picture of the deity of Christ. What can we say? I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Jesus was asserting his authority as the God-man by saying, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. 6 times in chapter 5, he said, you've heard that it been said, but I say unto you. He didn't say, but God said. Well, actually, he did. He said, I said. You remember when that man said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, why do you call me good? There is none good but God. Jesus wasn't telling him not to call him good. He just wanted to know why he was calling him good. He was right. So here we see the deity of Christ in this place. But listen, to hear and do these sayings of the Lord, Jesus likened that person. And listen, this should be you. This is what characterizes you as a child of God, is that you're a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. You take it with you when you leave today and you do something with it by faith. You obey the truth of God's word in your life. You said, Lord, you said, do this. And so I do that. You remember what Jesus said? He said to the people, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So one of the paramount and primary characteristics of a child of God is they do the things that Jesus says. If Jesus says do this, I'm going to do it by faith. You say, well, you're actually doing it. Yes, but I'm doing it because my Lord commanded me to do it. So I'm believing him by faith and I'm doing it. And so that's how the child of God lives, brethren. So to hear these sayings of the Lord, Jesus likens us or that man to a wise man who builds his house upon the rock, which stands through every adversity of life, through every trial, through every storm of life. And this is that human soul that endures to the end. This is that regenerated soul. This is that saved sinner. This is that regenerated person. This is that one that's born again by the Spirit of God. This is the one that dug deep and built his house upon a rock. In fact, I'll show you that. Go to Luke chapter 6. Excuse me. While you're going there, to hear and do not these sayings is to be a pretend Christian or to be no Christian at all, to not profess anything. Anyone who hears and does them not, well, he's like a foolish man. Your life is going to crumble at the end whenever that is, unless you finally one day turn from your sins to Christ and to trust completely and singularly in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. When Christ becomes your all in all, He is your King, your Lord, your Savior. You are bought with a price, and now you glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. And so those that hear and do not, they're likened to foolish persons who build their houses upon the sand, and their lives ultimately crumble. But in 6:46 is the synoptic to this passage in Matthew. I love this rendering because Jesus says, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." I like that. Don't you like that? "I will show you to whom he is like." This is what he's like. I love when Jesus, Matthew 13, one of my favorite chapters in all the scriptures, because he says the kingdom of heaven is like. So he's telling us what it's like in the kingdom of heaven with certain types of people in the kingdom of heaven. So here he says, "I will show you whom he is like." That is the one that hears and does the sayings of God. "He is like a man which built a house." Those next three words are important. "He digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it." That's you, Christian, if you are rooted and built upon Christ, if you're born again by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ." It's Jesus Christ. So that house couldn't be shaken. It was founded upon the rock. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth." Again, you'd say that's ludicrous. Well, if you're lost, that's your life. If you're outside of Christ, you are like a bunch of 2x4s and timbers that are nailed together and supported by movable earth, shifting and movable earth. And the first time there's a flash flood, guess what's going to happen? The whole thing's going to fall. The stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Listen, the ruin of any soul is great. One single soul dying outside of Christ is a great ruin. One soul. There are souls dropping into hell right now. There are people dying in their sins right now. That is the worst of human tragedies. It is. And especially those that heard the truth of Christ and did nothing with it. Heard it and were not doers. Did not believe it. Did not believe the truths of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see both men built houses, but only one man dug deep and laid the foundation for his house upon the solid rock. So the question for each of you and me this morning, or this evening actually, is what kind of a builder are you? Your house is your life. It's the salvation of your soul. What are you building upon? What have you built upon? Have you built upon Christ? Or is your hope of eternal life rooted and built upon your own faulty merits and your own faulty hopes, your own subjective feelings? Do you know how many people base their salvation on how they feel? Or what they think about God, and they've never even cracked open the Word of God. They've never looked at any of it, but they have very strong opinions that I think God, blah, blah, blah. I think I'm okay with God. You feel like saying, "Let me know how that works out for you," but you can't do that. You have to tell them the truth. Brethren, that's terrible. Listen, If your own hope of eternal life is built upon how you feel, then you're building upon a sandy foundation. Here's a question for those that are lost. Are you even thinking about your own mortality? Are you thinking, have you considered that your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away? Have you considered that? Listen, we think that we're going to live. I think we're all, in a sense, a little bit self-deceived. We don't live as if we believe we're going to die in the next moment. But listen, there is but a step between me and death. Listen, we think the way we think. In fact, I've got things that I'm going to do tomorrow. Well, you know what? I may not come to tomorrow, and I really need to think like that. I need to say, if the Lord will, I will do this or that and go into such a city and buy and sell and get gain. I was telling my wife today, I said, I'm going to have to break down that beaver dam again tomorrow because the beavers are building a dam in the culvert. I may be dead before that. Glory, hallelujah, I hope so. My wife says, don't say that. But listen, this is how, what? But listen, our lives are but a vapor. They appear for a short time. And if you're lost, I would ask you, what then? If you're lost, what are you giving in exchange for your soul if you're not a Christian? If you're building upon any other foundation but Christ? Listen, many have heard my sayings, but are you doing them, saith Christ? Many heard his sayings on that mountain. Probably there were many that went away and did them not. So are you doing my sayings, saith Christ? Listen, those that have built their house and their hopes upon Christ, their lives, again, will be characterized by the fact that they are hearers and doers of the word of God. They are doers of the commands of Christ. And let me show you this. I was sharing this with Chris. This is probably one of my most favorite passages in the scripture. I have a lot of favorite passages. But listen, go to 1 John 2:29. Listen, if this is you, you possess saving faith. In other words, if you're a hearer and a doer of the word, if you leave here and you cultivate the word, if you leave in a sense like the eunuch and you read and you want to understand and you're like a Berean and you search the scriptures and you go away from church and you cultivate the truth of God in your own heart and soul, then the indication is that you do possess saving faith that works. And you have a saving faith that motivates and drives you to a happy and willing obedience to Christ. You have a faith that is operative. It operates. It's not dead, like James says. A man may say he has faith. He says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. See, we could say I have faith, but we never do anything. Let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We need to be doers of the word, brethren. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29, if I have you there. 1 John 2:29, I love this. The first time that John, the Apostle John, mentions the new birth in the epistle of 1 John, this is the first time. He says, in John, if you know that he was, in a sense, combating the Gnostics when he wrote the epistle of 1 John, the knowing ones. And so John says, the one that you really need to know is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here he says, if you know that he is righteous, you know, that is, Jesus is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. See, Christians are doers of righteousness. We're doers of righteousness, brethren. So listen, have you built or are you building your life and your hopes upon Christ and Christ alone? That's what you should be. Christian, we need to be building our lives upon Christ alone. Is Christ your sole and only hope of salvation? Or is your life built upon what you can get and gain out of this perishing world? So many people, this world is their hope. This is their heaven. They love this world. They're building their little kingdoms, their little piece of heaven in this world. This is not heaven. This thing is going to be burned up at the last day. It's going to be totally smashed when God judges the whole earth. So remember this, beloved. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that must, he must be our foundation. Look at Isaiah 28:16. Remember, two builders, two foundation, a wise and a foolish. Isaiah 28:16. Listen, you need a sure foundation. Your life needs to be founded upon Christ. He is a sure foundation which cannot be moved. I love Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. That is, this foundation and he that is founded upon this rock shall not be moved out of his place. He shall not make haste. There is no other foundation. This is the foundation, beloved, of the child of God. And then you remember what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. He says, on this rock I will build my church. That rock was the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 11, the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 11, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, 4:11. Peter here said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, he is the straight gate. He is the door. He is the shepherd of the sheep. By him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other foundation, brethren. Now, I love this passage, Proverbs 10:28. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28. I hope you don't mind me loving too many passages. Proverbs 10:28. I think this passage fits nicely in context with this, to this one who built his life or her life trusting solely in Christ for the salvation of their soul. Proverbs 10:28. Notice the scripture here says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The expectation of the wicked shall perish. And then Jude, I already read that to you. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But there's another one there as far as building ourselves up and building ourselves upon the foundation of Christ. In the book of Jude, verse 20, he says, but building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves on what? On Christ. On your most holy faith in Christ. Remember that we don't just have faith. We don't have faith in faith. Our faith has an object. Our faith has a person. That person is Christ. His person and his work. And then second, the second builder was the foolish builder. He hears the words of Christ, but is not serious about them. There are so many in the world that hear the word of God, but they're not serious about the word of God. Listen, one of the most conspicuous marks of a child of God, the child of the kingdom of Christ, and I've said this already, is obedience to Christ. They're hearers and doers of the word. But listen, foolish builders are those that hear the words of Christ. They hear the word of God, but they will not do them. They refuse to do them. They may talk about the straight gate and the narrow way, but in practice, they continue toward the wide gate. They remain on the broad way that leads to destruction. There are those on that broad way that are talking about Christ, but they're not doers of the words of Christ. They claim faith in Christ. They profess faith in Christ, but their lives and their salvation is not founded upon Christ. It's not founded upon Christ. And listen, this is so very important. Just a few passages, two in Job and then one in Proverbs, and then we'll be finished. The book of Job. Again, this is truth in the book of Job, but If you know anything about the book of Job, you'll know that Job's three friends, they spoke truth, but they misapplied it to Job. Nonetheless, it's true about the wicked of which these men speak. This was Bildad the Shuhite. Job 8:13. He says, so are the paths of all that forget God. Listen, let me just tell you, as a fallen son of Adam, we're fallen humans. We're affected by the fall. Don't forget God. Don't go out into the world and forget God. Don't do that. He says, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. The spider's web can support hardly anything. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. That's the hypocrite's house. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. Just lean upon it, and it shall fall. 27:8 of Job. 27:8. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul? When God taketh away his soul. And then finally, Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 and verse 3. Proverbs 11 and verse 3. And then we'll go back to Matthew to close. Proverbs, Solomon here says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When the wicked man dieth, his expectation, whatever that might have been, shall perish. His expectation shall perish. There's nothing that is more grievous than to talk to a dying man and to tell him the truth of the gospel of Christ, and to compel him to repent of his sins, and to watch him at the very threshold of death refuse. There's nothing more grievous. You feel as a preacher and as a witness helpless. But I have not the power to convert a soul. And you watch sinners go out into an eternity with their expectations, their earthly hopes, which will soon be dashed, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. There's nothing sadder than that. Matthew 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Go back to Luke. When you leave here tonight, bore a hole down and find that solid rock. In fact, bore the hole here. Introspectively, look at yourself. Make sure, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. It's okay to ask yourself questions. Am I trusting Christ, just Christ alone? And then, Lord, am I a hearer and a doer of your word? If you are, the rains will descend and the floods will come and the winds will blow and beat upon your life, and it will not fall. Your soul will not fall. You will endure to the end. Why? Because you're founded upon Christ. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and refuses to look introspectively, to examine themselves, to turn from their sins to Christ, then Christ says, I'll liken you to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. You remember the fool of the book of Luke that had all of his riches, and God said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. When the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell, and great was the fall of it. It was the end of Jesus' sermon. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And we know that after this, Jesus walked down the mountain to heal a leper, and multitudes followed him. And so went the Lord Jesus, doing his work and preaching the gospel. Beloved, let us work. Let us follow our master in everything. Let us be hearers and doers of the word of God every day of our lives. May God be honored with us as his children. Let's dismiss in prayer. Gary, would you dismiss us, brother?
We're so grateful for the blood of Christ. Lord, Christ has been a thing. Lord, the good word that you continue to bless us with, Lord, we pray that it will not be in vain in our own lives. Lord, that we truly examine and take heed of what we hear. Lord, again, we pray for those that are unable to be here. We're thankful to be here. Appreciate it. Everything for us. We're not speaking of the building, but speaking of your word. We're thankful for that. Well, we pray that you'll help us be examples to others, to our children, to our families, to co-workers, to neighbors, those in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And we just pray that you'll help us be a good testimony. Help us to raise your name up high.
Mm-hmm.
And never drag it through the dirt. Well, we just thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.